This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, we're going to talk from the subject of new millennium parenting, spiritual insights into better parenting. All right, there in verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he warns him. He says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." We want to use this as our foundational scripture as we talk about parenting, because our goal tonight is to get you to focus on God's purpose for parenting. Paul writes to Timothy, who is a young minister, and he's telling Timothy that he has to be very focused in his ministry. He has to hold his course, even though the times around him may look bad and may get unstable. But he says, "Timothy, the reason I have confidence that you can do this is because of the principles, the spiritual principles and foundations that were placed in you as a child." And that is what we really want to focus on. We're not here to come to talk about the Oprah style of parenting. You follow me? That's not what we're about. We're here to give you some spiritual insights and how to raise a godly child so that this generation, the generation that's coming up now, will not grow up without a God consciousness. And we have spiritual tools and spiritual power from God to bring this to pass. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Our objectives in this lesson is very clear. I want to give you greater insight into what the Bible says is one of the most blessed states in human existence, where you have the responsibility for the upbringing and nurturing of another individual. The Bible calls it a blessed state. Well, I think we can trace the state of our society back to a lack of doing what God said do in the area of child raising. Amen? It's amazing with all of the new techniques that they have that we got more folk in jail than ever before. You got it? With all the new techniques of not chastising the children, not you know talking to them, timeouts and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing, you follow me, that there's a breakdown in the educational system, there's a breakdown, you know, in the neighborhoods. It's just terrible. You follow me? Well, I know why. It is because we have departed from God's way of doing things. Amen. Verse 29 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Ye do err, he said. You make a mistake, you miss it. Not intentionally, simply because you don't know the scriptures, you don't know what God's word says, neither have you tapped into the power of God. And so we don't want to just focus on principles. We want to have both principles and power working in our lives. Principles and power working in our lives. And so, as we flow through the teaching tonight, this first session is going to be about defining from a godly perspective your role as a parent. Defining from a godly perspective your role as a parent. The power to define is the power to determine destiny. The power to define is the power to determine destiny. To whomever I give the right to give definition to my life, I also surrender to that person the power to control and direct my life. So we have to make sure that we as believers, have the correct definition, understand God's purpose for parenting. So that means we might have to detach ourselves from things that we have traditionally heard so we can get a clear understanding from God's word. Now, I hear a little ring in here. Do y'all hear a little ring? So, brothers, I have a small ring in here. Technicians, if you can get that together, I would be most happy. Amen. Now, since I understand that definition is important, we want to make sure that we draw our definition of parenting from God's word and not from hearsay. There are four basic states that we go through. Number one would be the unmarried state. Number two would be the espoused state. That's the engaged state. Number three would be the married state. And then number four, the parenting state. And we should progress through these states. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Moving from one state to the next. Now, brothers, y'all got it a little worse than it was before, so please put it either back like you had it, and I could live with that, but I cannot live with what you're doing now. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, moving from one state to the next state is vitally important. In other words, moving from the unmarried state to the espoused state, from the espoused state to the marriage state, and then on to the parenting state, should happen progressively. And the quality of the state that you're in depends on how you manage that state based on the word of God. Let me say that again. We talked about four states of life or phases of life. And the quality of your life in any particular phase of life has to do with how you are managing that phase based on God's word. The quality of your single state or your unmarried state is going to be based on how you are applying God's word in that particular state you're in. The quality of your espoused state, the state of engagement, is going to depend on how you manage yourself based on God's word in that particular state. The quality of your life and your lifestyle in the marriage state is going to solely depend on how you manage yourself based on what God's word says in that particular state. So it is, the quality of the parental state is going to be determined by how you are able to take God's word and manage your life in that particular state. You should never move from one state to another. Now, this is, you know, you become a parent either by circumstance or by choice. Amen? Either it's by circumstance, it just happened. You got it? Or you become a parent by choice. And by choice, I mean that, you know, many times through adoption or through taking on, you know, a relative's child or that sort of thing, you become a parent by choice. You follow me? Whatever reason brought you into the parenting state, the quality of that state is going to be determined by how you apply God's word in that state. As a believer, since we have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, we forfeit the right to run our lives according to how we want to. We can't do that. Since we made Jesus our Lord, we're saying that His Word is now Lord of our lives, and whatever His Word says, that is what we have to do. Amen? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is a passage that we're going to kind of stay with for the rest of the teaching. But I want you to look there with me in verse 7. It says, this is Apostle Paul writing. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, that was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul here talks about the grace of God, the sufficiency of the grace of God. The scripture says that he had a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn? The thorn was not sickness and disease. The Bible says it was a messenger of Satan. It was so amazing. We were on vacation, and was riding with a cab driver, a friend of mine and I, and we were talking to the cab driver, and of course he began with, you know, the conversation was steered around being a Christian, that sort of thing. And, you know, the guy, you know, he was saying, yeah, you know, he was a Christian. He was saved. And, you know, if Jesus would come, he would go back with him. And my friend was in the back seat. I was riding in the front seat. And he was saying to him, he didn't know about, you know, some of these prosperity preachers. those preachers who are preaching that God says you can be healed, and those preachers who are preaching God says you can be prosperous and blessed, he didn't know about some of them. Well, I thought my friend in the back was going to say, well, you got one in the front seat, you understand? But he didn't. And so that guy brought up this scripture. It's so amazing how people misread the Word of God. So the guy brought up this scripture, as though he was a theological expert. He said, you know, the Bible talks about Paul being sick, and he asked God three times to heal him, and God said no. Now let's look at this and let's see if you see him asking God to heal him and God turning him down three times. Now y'all, I need my sound to come up just a little. Y'all gonna work my voice if y'all do that. My sound was, y'all just had it just perfect, and I was just getting in my rhythm. I was getting ready to roll, you follow me? You know, my help had come, you understand? I was getting ready to roll. So give me some. I don't yell you. All right. Okay, all right, watch this. Let's see if we can see in here whether Paul was sick and asked God to heal him three times. We're going to just take a little detour. You know, we're talking about parenting, but I got to look at this because I can't believe he saw that in the scripture. All right, it says, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, that word messenger is the same word that's translated angel. So he says, this was an angel of the devil, of Satan, to buffet me, to harass him, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, what thing? The messenger of Satan. Got it? I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, do you see any way? He said, no. Do you see anywhere in here that he said no? But his response was, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, in the parenting, still, let me make my shift and get back to parenting, because the brother was just as off as he could be, you understand? And, of course, my friend in the back kind of ministered to him, but he was on his way to heaven. He's going to get to heaven. You know, he may get there broke, but he's going to get there. You understand? That's all right. I ain't got no problem with that, you know, but just don't bother me, because I want to get there healthy, you know, and wealthy and wise. You understand? I'll let you go there broke. You follow me and sit. We'll all meet up there somewhere around the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul says something here that I want you to really focus on, because many times the devil can really attack you as a parent on your especially when you look at television and you hear all these people talking about all these, you know, parenting skills that they have, and you know, all, I mean, it almost makes you feel like, wow, I mean, I don't know none of this stuff, you understand? But we have the grace of God to raise our children. And that's what you got to really focus in as a believer. That Paul says that God said to him, his grace is sufficient. And he says that, watch this, he said, God says to him that my strength, the strength of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is made perfect in our weakness. Man, isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now just think about it. Many of your parents never went to college to get some psychology course on child rearing. But look at the men and women of God that you are today. You got it? So we got to understand, we cannot discount God's grace, God's power, and God's methods for child rearing. I'm not going to try to compete with some psychologist. I have no problem with psychologists, psychiatrists. Have no problems with that. But I got another way. I got God's way. Because before they ever did that study, God had his way already recorded. And what you have to understand, that we can depend upon the power of God, follow me, to cause us to be good parents, to raise children who have a God consciousness. And that is the goal of parenting. Now, let's give you it's definition time. Look, person that says definition time. All right, those of you who like to write my definitions, here we go. Parent state is a state in life which may naturally follow marriage when procreation takes place. Hallelujah. But when you have a baby. Or through other series of events, when you take on the responsibility for the nurturing and development of a child. A godly parent, and this is what I want you to get, a godly parent is one who oversees the development, the nurturing of a well-balanced individual, capable of making righteous choices, submit to serving God, and having a godly influence over others. That's what your role is. Your role as a parent. How many say you want me to say it again? How many want to say it again? All right, here we go. Here we go again. Godly parent is one who oversees the development of a well-balanced individual. So your responsibility is to oversee the development, the nurturing of a well-balanced individual. Your child needs to be well-balanced. All right? Capable of making righteous choices, making godly choices. Secondly, submitting to serving God, that your child submits to serve God. And, number three, influencing others to do the same, or to influence others in a godly manner as well. Those are our three goals of parenting. That I want my child to have a godly conscience so that they can make righteous choices. I want my child to have a God conscience and be trained in the things of God so they'll submit their lives to serving God. And I want my child to have such a conviction for the things of God that they become a light in their own world. Got it? Now, we can focus on trying to raise a genius and miss the opportunity to raise a God-conscious child. Amen. And if the church doesn't wake up, we're going to miss the opportunity to capture a generation that the devil has set out to win. Amen. 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 Now, our children learn through four avenues. Through their environment, their experiences, through significant others, through modeling what they see, significant others, and through instruction. We must use all four avenues to communicate a God consciousness. It is a God consciousness that brings stability to life. Because if an individual has no fear of God, they will have no respect for you. Got it? Now, what was placed in us, in our parents who never went to school, you got it? Never went to college, never sat in a psychology or sociology class. What was ingrained in us was a fear of God. Now, I ain't talking about a reverential fear. I'm talking about a scared. Am I right? I mean, you don't play with God. You got it? And it was because we had this anchoring in our thinking that there is a God who is in control and, you know, who is watching over the affairs of the earth. Because of that consciousness, we were always restricted in what we would do. Not because I had to answer to mama as much as I have this consciousness that there is somebody, when mama don't see me, God sees me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to Proverbs 22 now. Proverbs 22. Because our responsibility is lived out through purposeful effort. Now, even though, you know, you don't have to have a license to have a child. Got it? Anybody can have a baby. Got it? To be a godly parent, you have to put forth some effort. As a believer, it's your responsibility to do so. Amen? Want to raise a godly child? Everybody say, want to raise a godly child. Godless child. Godly child. Amen. Proverbs 22. Are you there? Now, I've got a lot of scriptures to go through simply because I want to establish something. I see God doing something in our church in particular, and I know in churches across America concerning children. Unfortunately, we become so caught up in careers and doing things, we have pushed our children's spiritual development in the back. You follow me? Because we got caught up. Then we don't spend as much time as we used to spend, as our parents used to spend with us. You follow me? And so if we don't watch it, we grow up, we raise somebody, we don't, and we look at one day and go, who are you? All right. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says what? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will what? Not depart. The Amplified reads this way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So the Bible says children need to be trained. Everybody say trained.
Trained.
All right, training is not suggesting. Amen. Training is not making us say, do you want to go to church? That is not training. Training is we go into church, get ready, let's go.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be embarrassed by training your child. See, this society places, you know, condemnation on you for training your child. I wouldn't make my child. I promised that if I got grown, I wasn't going to make my child. My mom made me go to church. I ain't going to make my child go to church. You're going to wish you had them. Proverbs 23, turn there with me. This is a blessed state, but it's a state that requires some effort on our part. Proverbs 23, are you there? Verse 13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, parenting is a blessed state, but it requires some effort. Everybody says some effort. Now, I know some of y'all glad y'all found this scripture, you understand? Y'all done highlighted that, didn't highlight any scripture. Your child want to tear this out the Bible. Your child sitting there saying, why in the world did Pastor hear you read that scripture? All right. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Proverbs 29. We're looking at what the Bible says about this state and the effort that we have to put forth in order to maximize the state. All right? It's a blessed state, but it requires some purposeful effort on our part. There in verse 15, Proverbs 29:15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give you delight unto thy soul. So I can see here that the Bible is giving me fair warning that yes, parenting is a blessed state, but it's only going to be a blessed state for me if I will put forth the effort to put into my child a God consciousness through discipline. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 113. Psalms 113. It is a blessed state. And if you are in the state or by choice or by circumstance, you must purpose to maximize it and get the full benefit out of the state. Amen. All right, look there with me in verse 9. It says, he maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Joyful mother of children, praise the Lord. Now underline, joyful mother of children. Amen. Not a stressed out mother. So being stressed out with your children is not the will of God. Amen. And whatever state you're in, Paul says, he had learned to be content. So if I'm stressed out in the parental state, it means there is some learning that has to take place. Amen. Because he says you ought to be a joyful mother or a joyful father of children. So if at the state you're in that is you're not joyful, then you got to understand there is some learning that must take place. There are several stages of development of your child. There is number one, the infancy stage. Everybody say infancy. Now, our responsibility changes through as the stage of life changes for our children. And in infancy, it's a time of nurturing and guarded, because the child at that age cannot do anything for themselves. Second stage is the childhood stage, and it's the time of training and teaching. The time of training and teaching. The third phase is the adolescent phase, which is the time of instruction and discipline. And that is, we instruct them in what they have been taught to do, and others instructing them, staying on them to do what we already taught them to do. That's that adolescent stage. That's that stage right before they go into the dumb day. Okay? The next stage is what I call the adulthood, which also has different phases in it. There is the phase when that young adult is in the house, or that teen is in the house, which I have called the dumb day. And that's the day when they don't think you know anything about anything, and they know it all. You understand? Dumb day. We've been there. They're going through it. Be patient with them as our parents was patient with us. Amen? A second part of this adulthood is when that person, when that adult is in the home and goes past through the adult, the dumb day, the teenage stage, and becomes a young adult. Even though they are an adult, they're still under your guardianship. And so that's the phase when you back off a little, but you got to keep them God conscious because they're still living under your roof. Then the stage when they decide to leave, whether they leave by marriage or leave just to get out on their own, it is that part that's the time when you have to release, because their choices now are the choice. They have to then, you know, choose to follow what they've been taught. If they don't choose to follow what they've been taught, you've got to make sure that you don't let the devil put any guilt on you. Now in counseling, or my lawyer told me I'm not supposed to say counseling, because if you counsel folk, then they can sue you if they do something dumb. You understand? So I'm not supposed to say counseling. I'm supposed to say ministry, because they can't sue me for ministry. So in times of personal ministry, counseling. You know, we talk to parents whose children have gone out and made mistakes, and they become embarrassed for it. They become shame. And I say, you can't do that. The unrighteous choices your children make is not a bearing on your commitment to righteousness. Now, I think you've got to agree with me. God was the greatest parent of all. Wouldn't you believe God was the greatest parent? Amen. Now, watch this. God's the greatest parent of all, and Adam messed up. He didn't quit being God. He didn't get shame and wouldn't come to the earth anymore. But the Bible says right after Adam messed up, God showed up on the scene walking in the cool of God and said, hey boy, where are you? Come here. Got it? So you got to understand that, because many times you cannot fulfill your role as you need to fulfill it when you become embarrassed and you allow the devil to hang guilt and shame on you. Got it? Amen. So now what I got to understand is throughout these stages, it still ought to be joyful. No matter what stage they're in, it ought to be joyful to us. Amen? All right, watch this. Turn with your Bibles to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. My attitude has to change, and you've got a purpose to say that, hey, I'm going to enjoy being a parent. I'm going to enjoy. May not have been joyful up to this point, but you're going to get some information so you go back, be a joyful parent. Verse 3 says, Psalms 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The Bible says, happy is a man who has his quiver full. Amen. So what I'm pointing out to you is, according to Scripture, You're supposed to enjoy being a parent. Amen. Amen? And we're going to show you how to do it no matter what state you're in. Whether you have, on the last night, I think we're going to be dealing with a rebellious child, because that can take the heart, that can take the joy out of your life if you let it happen. Amen. Got it? Handling that rebellious child. But we're going to talk about even how to go through handling a rebellious child and not let it steal your joy, because it's the will of God for you to be joyful as a parent. Got it? No matter what state you're in, you're supposed to be joyful and be content. Turn now to Proverbs chapter 6:17. Proverbs chapter 17. We're just walking through the word now, allowing God's word to establish some things in our thinking. Verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. Grandchildren, in other words. Amen. And the glory of children are their fathers. So the Bible says here again that even grandchildren, you're supposed to enjoy your grandchildren. Amen. I enjoy my grandchildren. Amen. They go home when their mamas go. Yeah, I enjoy them. All right, baby, it's time to go. Amen. You know, Dr. Bridget did something. What's that? Was it last Christmas? When you had them all stay over? You didn't have them all? Yeah. She felt, what, Thanksgiving? Yeah, she felt very grandmotherly. That anointing had not fallen on me to keep them all night long. And they're little, you see. I don't mind keeping them when they can, you know, cut the grass, take out some garbage, wash some dishes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, she had a ball with them. She just enjoyed them. I enjoyed them when their mothers came back. And we went on vacation. And so on vacation, you know, we were going to, I'm going to be real grandfatherly to enjoy my grandchildren. So I said, okay, I'll keep these two. You know, so I guess about 30 minutes of it? Did that last that long? I didn't last 30 minutes. Okay, I think y'all need to break. Oh, they call me Big Daddy. Y'all need to break Big Daddy in slowly. Let me have one. I got to break me to this grandparenting thing. Just a little slower. You know, just let me have one of y'all this time. Rather you go to your parents, and I'll just switch up with you. All right, now. But in all sincerity, every phase of it, even as a grandparent, you should enjoy your children. I want to establish that because it should never be tedious to you. Never should be tedious to you. Now, watch this. Turn from your Bibles to Ephesians, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must maximize the state by giving them guidance based on the Word of God, dependent on the power of God. And this is where it gets serious. Everybody say, get serious here. What I want to impress upon you for the next few moments is that God is depending on us to produce a righteous seed in the earth. I want to say that again. God is depending on us to produce a righteous seed, a righteous generation in the earth. He's holding you accountable. Now, you may not have any natural children, but as a responsible adult, he's still holding you responsible for producing a righteous generation. It's our responsibility to raise up a righteous generation. God is serious about that. Got it? And the church has not taken it serious. Church is almost like the disciples were when they brought the children to Jesus. Disciples, you know, looked at the church and looked, Jesus ain't got time for y'all. Now Jesus said, no, don't push them away. You got it? Bring them close. Jesus says, I need to touch them. So we got to get a consciousness that what's important to God is this next generation that's coming up. That is, you got a God consciousness, and you owe it to sow a God consciousness into them. Amen. See, if the church really, when we really grasp it, not if, because we're going to grasp it here tonight, we will not have shortages of ministry of health people who want to work with our children. I know you're not shouting now, but that's why God got the parenting seminar here. Parenting seminar is to sow into you this God consciousness of your responsibility for us to raise a godly generation. We have a war to save our children. Got it? It's a serious war to save our children. They used to could get God consciousness in school because there were godly teachers. Not so in every case. Thank God we do still have some godly teachers in schools, but not so as it were at one time. Follow me? So if the church fails to step up to the plate, we're going to raise a generation who doesn't know God. We'll fail. Watch Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at this thread that begins to run through the scripture. Look there in verse 7. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children," talking about the laws and the precepts of God. "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates." Now here, he's talking about the children of Israel teaching the principles and precepts of God's word to the next generation. Turn with your Bibles again. Now, let's look Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, we're going to walk through Genesis. God was very clear and repetitive with Abraham, letting Abraham know that he wanted him to invest in his children. He wanted him to make an investment in his children. Are you there? All right, look at verse 9. It says, "And God said to Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant before thee and thy seed after thee in their generation." So anytime he talked to Abraham about his covenant, he always reminded Abraham that this is not just for you, but it's for your children as well. Look at chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. What made God so proud of Abram was Abram's concern for his children. Now I'm going to tell you, if you really want to get rewarded by God, you start being concerned about the next generation. All right, verse 19 says, "For I know him." Well, let me back up. Verse 16. And the men rose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." All right, this God has been getting ready to cause judgment to come on Sodom. And so he said, I can't hide it from Abram. Why? He says, look at verse 19. "For I know him." Now, what does God know about Abram? "That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So he says, I know Abraham, and the thing that God is applauding Abraham for is Abraham's commitment to teach righteousness to his children. I've got to impress upon you, while we're trying to raise geniuses, we must not miss the opportunity to raise a godly child. Amen. All right, watch this. Turn with your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. God instructed Joshua to keep things around and to keep the memory of the power of God and the works of God in the minds of the future generations. All right, verse 5. Joshua chapter, what did I tell you? Chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said unto the men, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." Here they are now getting ready to go into the promised land, getting ready to cross the Jordan, and Joshua says, every man pick up a stone when he crosses over, all right? "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Look at what happened. They witnessed this awesome miracle. And Joshua said, when we get to the other side, these stones that you pick up, you're going to pile them up so that in days coming, in the days to come, when the children, your children, when they grow up and they walk past this pile of stones, they'll ask you, hey, Dad, what does these stones mean? And it's at that time you're to remind them of how the power of God brought you over. Amen. Now, it is important that we share with our children the blessings of God and give credit to God for what He's doing in our lives. Now, that's important. It is all a part of raising a God-conscious generation. Our children need to know that it is not our education that got us our house. Because there are others who have far more education than you have, and they don't have a house. So it could not be education alone that have you where you are. It's the God factor. We cannot be embarrassed to tell our children, this is what God has done. We're obligated to do so. You know, Dr. Bridget and I, we should do it. I kind of still do it. You know, as God blesses me, I show my church. Say, look what God blessed me with. Look what God's done for me. Look what God has done for me. I keep that before. I remember a thing that happened to me in church when my mother was giving. And I've said this testimony many times. One thing impressed me. I can almost say, you know, some things you can just kind of see the picture of it in your mind. I see myself right there in the church, Olivet Baptist Church. My mother was giving an offering. And I was telling my mom, don't give me money to these people. These people, this big old church, these people, you know, we need our money. I knew my mom was doing day's work, just working real hard. Dad was in the hospital, said, mom, don't give these people our money. My mother looked at me, she said, I'm not giving money to these people. I'm giving money to God, and that's why we never lack. That's why we have all that we have. Man, that stuck with me. Got it? Amen. And that is why I try. See, that's coming today. See, this work that God has started is not a work that should end with me. I ain't planning on going nowhere. No time soon. You got it? And, you know, I don't even plan to retire. I just plan to rearrange my schedule. You know, somewhere around 75, 80, I may rearrange my schedule, you understand? And just go and preach around, you know, travel and just preach in all the churches we've set up and we've ministered to. You know, just call somebody and say, well, you know, I'm coming now. I'll be there Sunday. I ain't going to be old and feeble either. I'm going to be strong. And still dressing too, yes. Amen. And Bridget with me, you understand? Glory to God. Amen. Whatever the stylish designer is that time, that's what she's going to have on. Got it? Now, here's the thing, though. We've got to make sure that we sow into the next generation this God consciousness and the experiences and the confidence that we have in God. See, you've gotten your faith to work, and your faith works. You owe it now to sow it into your children. Your children must grow up with a God consciousness. The devil is working overtime to abort that. Got it? The picture they see of success is not one that God gives, but one that selling drugs give. Amen. We got to keep it on our mouths that this is the Lord's doing. Amen. And it's I'm talking about at your own house, not just at God's house, but at your own house. And then, you know, it's amazing, you know, and you can watch it when I go out to eat. It's amazing. People don't give God thanks for their food. That shows me a lack of home training. I got trained at home that I give God thanks and I bless this food. And nowadays you better bless it. Heaven knows who back there in the kitchen and what they got. You just watch. That's all right. Just watch it. Go out to eat and just watch when folk get served their food. Watch it. You rarely see anybody bow their heads and give God thanks for that food anymore. Something missing. Well, you know, if they're not doing it, their children are not growing up giving thanks to God. I'm saying in your own house, you've got to talk to your children about this is the Lord's doing. Marvelous in my eyes. I mean, everything that you have. My God, my God. Amen, amen. Psalm 7, 8, then I'm going to close. Psalm 7, 8, then I'm going to close this session. Anybody get blessed?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Psalm 78. That's what God wants us to understand. Our responsibility as parents to sow into our children a God consciousness. Then we're going to show you how to use the power of God to protect your children. All right, look there in verse 1. It says, give ear. I love this scripture. I love this passage. It says, give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Y'all wonder why pastors always give testimonies. I always give my testimony because I want the children to grow up here what the Lord has done. When I talk about how we started with nothing. See, that's getting down in a child's understanding. That if God can do it for Pastor Hilliard, he can take nothing in my hands and do something with it as well. You got it? I know some of y'all get tired of it. He going with that same old testimony. That's all right. It wasn't the same old testimony when you heard it the first time. Amen. All right, watch this, what he says. Watch this. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their, my God, hope in who? In God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and be not as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Amen. Got to let the children know. We cannot be ashamed of God. You cannot be ashamed when you go out to eat. I don't care if anybody in the house giving thanks to God. You got to be able to bow your head and don't rush them. Don't have no head. Don't want no headache prayers either. Amen. You know, because you're ashamed. Kind of, you don't want nobody to know you're praying. No. Come on. We got to be bold enough to open our mouths and say, let's pray. I'm telling you, even when I go out and eat with heathens, I say, all right, let's pray. In the middle of them, give me, let's pray. Amen. And the whole reason we're doing it is because I got to let the next generation know that their hope got to be in God. Not in some success principle, but in the God who promises success if you live right. And when you look in the Bible, there are some incredible things that happens when God's people put a God consciousness in their children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he'll go, when his old won't depart from it. It's so amazing because you look at the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph's story was incredible. You're talking about come out of a dysfunctional home. His brother sold. Now, that's serious betrayal. You got it? Brother sold him in slavery. And then he ends up as a slave in another country away from his father. But yet the God consciousness that his parent Jacob put in him was still there. And when faced with temptation, he says, oh no, I can't do this. Lady wanted him to go to bed. He said, I can't do this. I can't commit adultery. Why? Not because your husband won't find out, because I can't sin against God. God consciousness. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a far country, again, who away from their parents, away from their home, and yet a godly consciousness had been so ingrained and rooted in them that they said, we won't even eat y'all's kind of food, because we've been trained that we don't eat that kind of food. We've been trained on a different diet. Why? Because we are God's folk, and they wouldn't eat it. And because of their stand, the diet of everybody else around there changed. And then one day they were offered an opportunity to forsake God and compromise by bowing their knee to an idol God with the threat of being burned by fire. But because a God consciousness, that is what's so important, which will keep our children on track, is this God consciousness. And when faced with death And the king says, look, if you don't bow, I'm going to burn you. He said, I'll let you think about it. He said, no, we don't even have to think about this. Because the God we serve, he's able. And he will deliver. See, that's the kind of generation we got to raise up. We got to raise a generation of kids up and children up who are unashamed and say, no, this is the God I serve. I don't care what you say and what you do, I'm not changing. But I got to stop. I'm out of time. Hey, get blessed. All right, Dr. Bridget.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.